So turn with me in your Bibles again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And I want to not read the whole of the section which we are going to consider, which is verses 4 through to 15, but read a few selective verses as we consider this section. First of all, verse 4, now when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And then dropping down to verse 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verses 9 and 10, then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables that..." And then what he does is quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. We've looked at this as we've been looking and studying the prophecy of Isaiah. So it's a quotation, "Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And then the very final verse, 15, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." But the Lord Jesus' own designation, this is what you would call the master parable. Without understanding this parable and giving heed to it, we will not understand any of the rest of the scriptures. And of course, the content of this parable is part and parcel of the entirety of the Bible. And of course, it's not simply a problem that is out in the world, but it's also a problem with us as Christians, that we are often hankering after new and exciting things to hear. And this was a problem, you remember, in Athens when Paul visited Athens. Now, Athens was the center of learning and science and knowledge and philosophy and intellect. And it still remains, along with Jerusalem, as the greatest influence in all of human history when it comes to learning and thinking and philosophy. All the science that we apply come out of that world. But there was a great problem with the people of Athens. They were interested in hearing new people and new things. They're rather getting disinterested or bored with the things that they already knew. But what you find in the Bible, while it teaches us new things as we go through the whole of the scriptures, one of the most important and emphatic truths of the Bible is that it repeats for us again and again things that we should not ever forget. And that's why one of the most important words in the Bible is remember. And the Bible keeps us reminding us of these truths. And so when we hear this parable, this is the third time this parable is recorded in consecutive Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we can easily tune out or become like the people of Athens. And this is one of the great temptations for not only the hearers, but for preachers, to go looking for texts that people will not be bored by, and so easily can skip over. And you remember how the Lord Jesus repeated his sermons. So did the Apostle Paul in his writings, and Peter. And so let's give attention to this very familiar parable. The first parable listed in the Gospel of Matthew, and the Master parable. Now the parable is very familiar to us, as I've taken some time to express it. But we're given here, very simply, the components and the interpretation of the parable. The components are very simple, isn't it? It speaks about a sower, one who does sowing, farmer, most likely, speaks about the seed, and it speaks about different kinds of soils. The wayside soil, probably next to the farm or the field that the farmer is sowing in. You don't see so much of it here because we have such advanced ways of farming. I remember growing up in India, in many parts of India, and our people had bits and pieces of farms. There's always a pathway around it, and the pathway is hardened. That's the kind of thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. And then there is the rocky ground around the field. There's a bit of soil there. Then next to the field, possibly thorn-infested patch of land. And then there is a good soil. And these are components that every human being can relate to. In every culture, there are really immortal parables, taking the components of what we know. And the explanation is given to us. There it is in verses 11 to 15. The Lord Jesus gives us the interpretation of this parable. And he says the seed that he's speaking about is not the seed of wheat or whatever other corn or whatever other kind of grain. It's just a parable from everyday life. The seed here, he says, is the word of God that we have in the Bible. And he gives us these number of soils, the wayside soil or ground. It's hardened. And he says that as the farmer casts his seed, some fall in that particular place, which is hardened. And it's like people. And they hear it, but they pay no real attention to it. It takes no effect on them. And the devil takes it out of their mind. And then there are those seed that fall on the rocky ground, which has a little bit of soil. And guess what? It sprouts up quickly. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. It sprouts up quickly. They receive the word. They're even happy listening to the word of God. That's what he says. They receive the word with joy. But the problem is they have no root. They have not spent time cultivating the word. It's all superficial. And what happens is as soon as they're tempted, in whatever direction, their own heart's desire or the temptations that come from the world, all is lost. No fruit whatsoever. Then there's a thorn infested ground. What happens with the thorn infested ground is when the word of God falls in there, it's full of thorns and thistles, and they choke the word, the pleasures of this world, the cares and the ambitions and the anxieties of this world. There's a sense in which each one of us, in some way or another, to some degree or another, experience this kind of response to the word of God. But for those who receive the word, those who represent the good soil, are the ones who produce fruit. Now, of course, that means there has to be weeding, there has to be careful watching and watering of the ground. If there are pests, they have to be treated. But you see, they are not shallow. As we look at the interpretation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives of this parable, let's just note, first and foremost, some basic things that the Lord Jesus Christ is stressing. First of all, as I said repeatedly, this is a master parable. And you say, well, why do you say that? Well, I didn't say that. The Lord Jesus says that. Some of you will remember in your reading, or when we considered the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. And he says this to his disciples. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all other parables? And so it's most important to understand this parable. And it's a parable about our human hearts and God's word. And the Bible repeats again and again how we should hear God's word. Secondly, you notice this distinction that is given to us very particularly in this parable, not only according to Luke, but Matthew and Mark, that there are two classes of people who are hearers of the word of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, we are told, when a great multitude had gathered. There are many millions of people who hear the word of God. But you'll notice, when you come to verse 9, his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? A great multitude hear the words of the Lord Jesus. But only a true disciple inquires and understands. And there is a divide, even in the hearing of the parable. And as I said, the parable is about the soil of our hearts. And some hearts are hard. Some hearts are shallow when it comes to evaluating and understanding the word of God. They pay no attention to the word of God. They're not careful. They get some immediate pep out of it or rebuke out of it. This is what happens when the word of God is but shallow, falls upon shallow hearts. They hear something comforting and they become very happy. And they're pleased. They hear the word of rebuke and correction and instruction. They're all downhearted. And it bears no real steady fruit. Mother Lord Jesus Christ is saying is the most important thing to pay attention about is the condition of our hearts. This parable is not primarily about the sower. And I'm going to say something that might shock some of you, but listen carefully. It's not even about the word of God in the primary sense. It's about the soil that receives the word of God, the heart that receives the word of God. Now, the Bible is full of the word of God in the primary sense. And it's the word of God here that is spoken. So attention is called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to the multitude, but he's specifically interpreting it to his disciples. And he says, give careful attention. Evaluate yourself as to what sort of a heart it is. And the hearing is not merely hearing, as we shall see. And we mustn't be more concerned about life and living, about health and learning, about the length of days on this earth, or the good things that God has given us. They're all for the praise and glory of God and for the good of his people, but we must primarily be concerned about our heart and its condition. As Hosea says, break up the fallow ground. Or as the Apostle Paul says, stir up the gift that is within you. It's a very important thing. Be careful how you hear is one of the things the Lord Jesus Christ repeats. And of course, it has been repeated by the prophets in the life of the people of Israel. So that is the major line of interpretation as the Lord Jesus Christ gives it in verses 11 to 15. And as the second main point, I want us to consider the layers that may not be so obvious, but I'm afraid that it's not just less obvious, some of it is quite unpalatable. It's distasteful to us. And some of it is quite puzzling. For example, you notice here, the Lord Jesus Christ does not interpret the parable for the great multitude. He speaks the parable. But he interprets it to his disciples who come and ask him. This is, it's there everywhere. You read the Sermon on the Mount. He opened his mouth and spoke, saying, and then he says, he taught his disciples. See, we must, so recently we considered about seeking God. Reading the Bible, preaching the Bible is not enough. We must seek God first of all. No preacher, no teacher should first and foremost be interested in the ministry and in the teaching of it, but it must be for the seeking of God himself. We must come to him through the word and prayer. We must ask those. That's why God has appointed pastors and teachers and fathers and mothers and friends, mature Christians. No wonder we stumble over things. Some of us think we have arrived. Some of us have never any questions. We must come to him. There's this divide about the condition of our hearts, about the truth of God's word. A great multitude. Today, even with this COVID-19, there are millions upon millions, maybe close to a billion people who go to church. A great multitude. All in the dark. I mustn't say all, most in the dark. many shallow, rocky soil, or soil upon the rock. Hard-hearted. Some people have just come to a hard-hearted stage about Jesus' words. Remember, the Lord Jesus is speaking this, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is our prayer that not one of us will settle in that position. No, all of us fall into that. After all, we are still. We have to live with remaining sin. I trust that none of us will stay in that condition. Awake. Seek the Lord while he may be found before it is too late. A second underlying doctrine, which is not really underlying, but maybe it's something that we don't often consider. You look at verse 8. When he had said these things, this is now including the multitudes, just before the disciples came to him. Others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to a literal translation. As he said these things, that's probably the literal translation. He called out. Now the word call out is the same word used for the rooster crowing. Is the same word used to cry out aloud. The same word is used in Greek literature for those who accost people, people who confront people. That's why some people I think that preaching and declaring the word of God is simply narrating information. No, no. It's a calling out. In this sense, an accosting, a confrontation. He cried out with a loud voice. And what happens? In spite of that call, only a few of his disciples come to him. He intends to shake us from our apathy. And we have to give attention to this, that we hear carefully. You see, the word of God is disturbing. It's comforting. It's also disturbing. It speaks about heaven and hell, about salvation and judgment. It speaks about the brevity of life. Speaks about giving account to God for every thought, word, and deed. It's a two-edged sword. You know what's peculiar about a two-edged sword? It has no blunt sides. It pierces to the bone and marrow. He calls out. We must give ear. Give ear. It's described as a hammer. And may it be that in our prayers. When you're bored with reading, I feel bored sometimes reading certain sections of the scripture. I can't begin to understand it. Or I feel I already know it. But I must pay attention to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Let him who has ears to hear, let him understand. And then there is a disturbing and puzzling aspect of this teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 9 and 10, his disciples come to him. He says, why do you speak in parables? Why aren't you making it absolutely clear? And this is what the Lord says to you. It is a double purpose. First and foremost, and it's taken from Isaiah, The purpose is that those who seek it will have it explained to them. And those who are simply there for the sake of it, they will not ever come to know the word of life. And the Lord doesn't throw seed with its nourishment to those who have no desire for it. And so if we have no desire for it with which we are born, then we must call upon God that he will open our eyes. You remember how we read in the Gospels again and again. Bartimaeus, who could not see, said, "Lord, have mercy upon me and open my eyes." Same thing with those who were deaf. Same thing with those who were paralyzed. All those are parable miracles. And when we come to a portion of scripture that is not meat and drink to us, then we must cry out to him so that he will, in his grace, not make us confirmed in our hardness, but open to us the word of life. And then there is the wonderful grace of God, isn't there? As it closes, the good heart. What is the good heart? Look at verse 15. The good ground is the good heart, which is those who heard it with a noble and good heart. What's a noble and a good heart? Well, we have the example of Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius. There was a heart that was prepared, that was eager, that came to hear the word of God. So we are all here to listen to what you have to say to us. Or as the Apostle Paul says of the Thessalonians, they received it not as the word of man, but the word of God. That's a good heart. That's a noble heart. And this heart must also be a discerning heart. Now, preachers are not infallible. So what did the Bereans do? Even with the Apostle Paul, they checked. They searched the scriptures. When Paul preached on a text, they searched the scriptures during the week. This is what many families have done throughout the centuries, and many individuals. Whether these things are true, even what Paul is doing. And so a good and a noble heart that gives attention to God's word. And it's not just the hearing of it. Look at what it says. And keep it. We must listen to see what are the areas where we need to increase our obedience. There's no point in understanding. There's no point in preaching. Let me apply it to myself first. That's why the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, James, says, "Let not many of you be teachers, because you will be more severely judged." And so it's very hard to understand people who want to become preachers without any reservation and fear of the responsibility of preaching the word of God. All throughout history, the great preachers, Calvin and John Knox and Jonathan Edwards, they were all frightened to become preachers. But of course, we've grown far more deeper in the understanding of the gravity of the situations. We can come so easily into the pulpit. To speak of myself. We have to keep the word of God. I have to think about what is it that I have to keep. and obey in the hearing of the word, in the searching of the word, and in the obedience of this. How good is my heart? Not just my preparation to speak it within the allotted time or go over it. Like the psalmist meditating on the word of God, keeping on the word, keeping the desire to keep the word of God, and so on. And then he says, the bear fruit with patience. It can be put the other way around. Those who are patient will bear fruit. Now notice, this patience is not simply a patience that does not include any work. We've already been told that you've got to hear, we've got to understand it, we've got to inquire, we've got to keep it. And perseverance itself is a work, not a work of merit, but it's a work that we are called to engage in. In other words, when we think things are not going our way, we must not give up. Like Job did not give up. Like Abraham did not give up when the promises that he was given was not fulfilled for long decades. And in one way, for centuries. With patience. It's another word for perseverance and faith. And if we do, then you bear fruit. Fruit of righteousness. Fruit of faith, growing strong in the things of God. Faith of peace, fruit of peace with God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let me close with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. From this gospel and also the gospel of Matthew, where this parable is told for the first time. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. When he had said these things, he cried. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing to you, if you're hearing my voice. It's not something to be set aside as you walk out the door. And this is what he says. He's calling your attention and mine. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he spoken about? About the hearers' hearts. Are you part of the multitude? Or are you one of his disciples? And then the Lord Jesus pronounces this in Matthew chapter 13. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for they hear. If you have the desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're calling out to him to increase fruit with perseverance, desire to keep his word, then you are blessed indeed of all people, not only of time, but of all creatures and throughout eternity. May the Lord help us to hear this call, this cry, this confrontational voice of accosting. And may it become blessing to us and not turn into judgment when we have to stand before him and give account for what we have preached and what we have heard. Amen. Well, let's stand and follow the singing of hymn number 322. And read the hymn, but we're not allowed to sing it unless you sing it very softly. But hymn number 322, Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. Let not the foe of Christ and man this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart and bring forth fruits of love. Hymn number 322.